We begin Siman Pei in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Ktsas v'melachos asuros b'Shabbos. We begin to learn the halachas of what is also to do on Shabbos. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Ika melachos shenasru lanu l'asos b'Shabbos. The primary melachos of what we may not do on Shabbos, k'vanoid l'roi b'nei Yisrael. Most people are well aware of those halachas. He says, well, what I focused on was on things that are not so well known, and devarim shechichim, but are common. Also, l'shtamish l'or haner, sif alf, also l'shtamish l'or haner, David tzorch ink tzas. We may not use candlelight for something that needs concentration. The gozer rabbanon, shem yishkaf yatas haner, while using that candle, Chazal were concerned that you're going to l'karvus Hashem al psila, you bring the oil closer to the wick, v'yischayiv m'shamaver, and now there will be concern of making a fire on Shabbos. This is obviously only by candlelight, by electricity, electric light, there isn't this concern, because the concern is only shemayat, I may fix the existing light. Chazal were not concerned, I may make new light. And that's why, if there's a bulb burning, Chazal were not concerned that we're going to light on other bulbs. Moreover, Ramesh says, even if you have a dimmer that can make your lights stronger or weaker, that wasn't part of the gzer of Chazal. We don't have to make new gzeres. V'shnai matarim l'kroyos b'tach sefer, but two people may read a sefer together. Echad b'inyan echad, echad b'inyan, two people learning from one sefer in one place. Shemiyava echel hatas. If one of them is going to do something with the candlelight, chaveiro yaskireyu, the other person will remind him. Ubener shlanu in our candles, shachel v'shal korval psilam. We have wax around the wick. Noigan lahater. It's much more. It's much less of a concern. Even if the wax or whatever material melts, since it's still not common that they fix this candle, and certainly if the candles are in a candle holder, an oil candle, for example. Ach tzarach lasas eiz a heker, but one has to make some sort of a reminder, shlo yiktzas roish hapsila, not to cut off the top of the wick, shenas hapechem, that becomes a charcoal. Or Rambam, doing something like that, have issa deraisa. And therefore, according to Rambam, I feel like they akum, even through a non-Jew, also looks as Rosh Hapsili may not cut off the top of a wick. Sebeis oslof toich delso chalon negadolik. One may not open a window or a door facing a lit candle. Shukarvelhem, when they are near that candle, for we may be concerned, shem yich ba yideizeh, and may cause to the for candle to get extinguished. But we could close it. And even if outside it's not really windy, but if the actual opening or closing the door could cause that the candle should go out, that makes it usser. The Mishnah Berurah says, therefore, if you're opening it in a way, you're opening it slowly, and opening it in a way where there is no real concern that anything's going to happen to the candle, then we have room to be lenient. Or Pesach Atana Shesh Be'esh, an opening or oven that has in it fire. Also Ben Lichter Ben Lizgar, you may not open or close it. Kedei Zeh Hu Machaber Machber, you can make the fire go on or off. Since the Chroine say that this is, that the only thing you're allowed to do on Shabbos is continue an existing situation. That's why some are lenient with a Shabbos clock if your lights are on, to keep them on, to take out what will cause them to go off is mutter. But to make them go off or make them go on is usser. And the question that comes up with a refrigerator or a freezer that works with a thermostat. So first of all, one has to be certain that when you open or close the door, nothing that you don't see is happening. Many refrigerators or freezers have all sorts of mechanisms when that are operating or start to operate when you open or close a door that you don't know. But if that's not the concern, if you're, based on what we just said, opening the door when the compressor, when the motor is on, then you're just continuing a existing situation. And therefore, the best would be to open it when you hear that the motor is running. If you don't have, if you can't wait to do it through a child or to do it through a shinui, not do it in the normal fashion, there are those that are lenient. The same question comes up with an oven that has a thermostat that makes the fire go on or off. So again, the best would be to open the oven when you know that the fire is on, and it will remain on because you opened the oven, and that's continuing an existing situation. If a place where every time you walk in, it causes, there's like an electric eye, every time you walk in, it causes the light to go on, that you may not walk by such a house if you cause something to happen by your walking in or out. If, however, it's on a constant basis, you're not causing anything to happen, there's more room for leniency. And there are those that are lenient if you don't realize what you're doing. One may not pour hot liquid on bread or matzahs. That means pouring it directly from a kli rishon, because that considers that you're cooking it. And these were baked foods and were concerned for yesh afi achabishol. Yesh bishol achafi, that you cook it after baking. And the same, therefore, applies, for example, by a boiler. Opening up a boiler on Shabbos means you're causing the cold water to come in. Opening up the hot water in your sink on Shabbos makes the cold water rush into your boiler, which will cool off. And not only may you therefore not open up that hot water, if you opened it up, you may not close it, because that will certainly cause that the cold water will come in and remain there and get quicker and likely cooked. The Paiskim, however, are lenient if your water gets heated not through a boiler, but through a dud shemesh, through solar panels. What you rather should do is pour the liquid into a bowl, let it cool off until it's edible, and then for afterwards you could put in the bread or the matzahs. As long as what the liquid is boiling, even though it's ready in a klisheni, you're not allowed to put anything in there. If it's already in a klisheni, that means you took it from where they were cooking into a bowl, and then from that bowl you transferred it to a second bowl. Most paiskel lenient that's considered a klisheni and it's not mevashel. However, the ladle, which you take something out from the original bowl, does not become a klisheni. Therefore, you have to get it into the second bowl and then into the third bowl. One may not put salt or spices into soup. I feel hubikara when it's in a bowl. The koshkein, the tachikdeir koshmanch or seich, and certainly not into a pot as long as it's boiling. Aliyamtim, one should wait ashik tsarukzas until it cools off sheroi lachila, which means it should be less than yat seledespoy. Vamelch nasai de bishop. Salt that's made through cooking, yesh makilim, when one can be lenient. The Paiskim say that the salt we have nowadays is not cooked. It's more like dried, and that's not necessarily called bishul, and therefore you can't use the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch's leniency on salt. But machma gam zeh, somebody's machma on all types of salt, tavala brachim. Can't analyze kafa tay l'toicha kli. One should not pour coffee or tea, hot coffee or hot tea, into a cup from which you want to drink, and yesh some sugar, if there's sugar, first have the coffee and tea, sugar, and only put the sugar into that. One may not put fruit or water into the oven after it got hot. There's a concern that the water will get cooked up, or if it's lapri, the fruit will get cooked. And this is a gzeir Chazal made, that you're not allowed to do something that could come to make what you're using, your liquid or your food, cooked. And therefore, one may not put it there. When we come up with makam ze'efshe yishibash lo yitzalu, if this is a spot where it could get cooked or baked or fried, you may not put anything there. There are those that are more lenient about putting something into klisheni, because as we're saying, in a klisheni, it can never get cooked. V'chein, pishtida, if you have kugel, sheyesh by shuman that has on it some fat, don't put it on the fire. Obviously, whenever we're speaking about a fire, we're talking about a fire that's covered. We're never allowed to put anything on Shabbos on an uncovered fire. Or don't put it in a place where it could get hot. Yad soledis. Even though it's not your intention, you just want to warm it up, but you may come to leave it there. Avol, if it's a place where it can't get cooked in that spot, it'll just get warmed up. Mutalitnam, we may put them. But filin nikrash Hashem, even if the fat on the kugel got congealed, ayamayim, or the water got frozen, machmas hakor, even though there's an issue of noilad is only where you deliberately did something to make it get melted. But if you didn't deliberately do it in a way to make it melted, and certainly if the fat that's on the kugel is going to get absorbed into the kugel, then it's not considered that you have done anything. Ava toichatana shetminaboy, to put something into the oven. Os los eshum davatzoni nalapur, anything cold. Shishchamim, even just to warm it up. Apishis efshelesayichsham, even though it can't get warmed up there. The question comes up, could you put something on one side of the blech where it's not that hot on the covering on top of the fire, but you have to be concerned that you may put it on another spot where it can get cooked. Some are lenient, some are machmer. But if there's somebody not well, yasa shel eschachem. Some put food back into the oven on Shabbos, given all the conditions that Chazor requires, kim shadayim chamim, if they're still hot. Ach, if they get cooled off, then oisrim, you never could put it back into the oven or on top of the fire, even on top of the covering. Somebody who's careful with that halacha should be careful in all situations. Shabbos, we're now going to put something and anything that to cover something, afilu bedavish and myself hevel, even if it's something that won't increase the heat, because we're concerned that you may come to cook it before you put it there. And of course, cooking or warming something on Shabbos is usur. But if you put it into klisheni again and you cover the klisheni, then it's more lenient. The L'chainim not l'kader shesh by tafshish n'zbashabah. If you have a pat and something that was cooked in it, or sh'nizchamba, or got warmed in it, os l'karch, you're not allowed to wrap it, or l'chsoysoy, b'karim b'kassas, cover it with pillows and blankets, l'shmechamim, even though all you're trying to do is keep the heat. There's a question if a crackpot is considered hatmonam. Most poskim are lenient, that it's not considered hatmana. Furthermore, pouring something into a thermos bottle, the opinion of most paiskim, is not considered an act of hatmana. Something that can't be eaten without rinsing. You may not rinse it even with cold water. Because this, the opinion of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is that there's a concept of makabe patish. Making a food edible on Shabbos is usur. Most people are not machmer for this opinion. However, dog meluach herring, mutl shoyes b'mayim tzonim, you can't soak in cold water. Ufishigam kodim mashriya, even without the soaking, royal achila, it's edible. And that's why many of these foods, powders, coffee, cocoa, instant chocolate, etc., or even soup cubes, or these soups that you just pour into, there is no issue of cooking and all of those things. Chard of chazeres, mustard and coarse radish, shamina tavulim, or different types of foods that are used for dipping. You didn't pour the vinegar in before Shabbos. Also, you're not allowed to pour the vinegar in on Shabbos. Ela b'shino, unless you do it not in a normal fashion. First, put the vinegar in, and only afterwards put in the mustard or the horseradish. Don't make it a thick mixture. Pour in much vinegar. It should be a loose. Don't mix it the normal fashion. He said, don't use a spoon, use your finger. Or just shake it at shisarv. This show over here is the issue of lush. This of lush means to take something that's liquidy and something that's more solid and mixing them together to make it into one. If you're mixing it something with its own moisture, for example, you're mixing an avocado and has its own moisture, that isn't an issue of lush. Lush is only when you do it, when you have two different things. If, when you want to make a shinui, always do different, both in the way you're mixing them together, the way you're combining them, and the way you're mixing them. Blila ava means something that doesn't even need a vessel to keep it together. Blila raka means something that is so loose that if it won't be kept in a vessel, it'll just drip, it'll just spill away. It won't be able to stay, it won't be able to remain together. Sevches peres shenim tzatachas ilan, fruit that are found on the tree, asum afil betultul, they may not be moved on Shabbos, because we need to be concerned, shema naflu hayoim, maybe they fell today, and if they fell today, then we have a concern of muksum. Ken kaberes etzalev t'chavim. Similarly, if there's fruit by a nochri, im yesh l'stapik shem nitlashu hayoim, we're concerned that they fell today. So there's two gzeiros here. One is, as I said, muksa, since they were set aside as Shabbos began, that I won't eat this fruit, because I can't cut it on Shabbos, so it become muksa. And therefore we say, midas katzoi ben shmoshes, since it became muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, it's katzoi l'kul yoyma, remains muksa for the duration of Shabbos. And they're also concerned, Chazal said, shema yal v'yitlash. I have to be concerned that you may tear it off in Shabbos, which is usur. And therefore, even if the fruit belongs to Nachri, they were muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, and the two gzeiros of muksa and shema yalav yitlish apply, and therefore it would be usur. But if the fruit that was brought by a Nachri, you could see, is not fresh, and it's obvious that that fruit was already down from before Shabbos, and the Nachri just brought you that fruit, and there is no concern that the Nachri brought you that fruit from outside the Tchum, then there's room for leniency.